My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kilkenny County Council Library Service, and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. In the second of our two talks today on the history of the library service in Kilkenny, we are going to look at the early years of Kilkenny County Library Service and also the history of the City Library in Johns Quay. In August 1925, Kilkenny County Council took over the running of the library service. The City Library remained under the ambit of Kilkenny Corporation and thus had a strange relationship with the evolving county service. There are no records of issues recorded for the library in the 1933 annual report. This may be because the library was still using the Cotgreave Library Indicator, which did not facilitate the recording of issues. The development of the City Library may well have been stymied by being under a separate authority. It is interesting to note that other sites in the city maintain collections of books in addition to the City Library. These were the CBS in James Street, the Home Rule Club on Johns Quay, the CYIMS at William Street, and St. Kieran's College on the College Road. Mr. Max Sweeney is recorded as the local librarian in the City Library in 1933. Miss B.M. Barron was the county librarian. 25 individuals served on the library committee. Among their number, they included 5 clergy and 1 woman. The main development in 1933 was the transfer of the central book repository that served the county from the City Library to a portion of Evans Homes, now home to the Butler Gallery. Previously, this portion had been used for educational purposes. The Carnegie United Kingdom Trust contributed £140 towards the internal alterations and repairs of the building. In 1937, the library serves and maintained over 100 trade centres in the county, mostly in schools. The books were exchanged every 4 months. Local volunteers ran these collections and many selected stock at the central repository. The educational emphasis of the service was still strongly emphasised, with some fictional works read for leisure being described as tripe in the 1937 annual report. The service had a stock of 33,330 in 1937. Total issues were 87,774, with 29,386 books being dispatched around the county. Interestingly, despite official attitudes, 67,273 of these issues were fiction, 13,587 were children, and just 6,914 were non-fiction. We should now look at a brief look at the early history of the City Library on Johns Quay. On the 20th of May 1946, Kilkenny Corporation relinquished its powers and duties under the Public Libraries Act of 1855 to 1922 to Kilkenny County Council. This meant that for all intents and purposes, two services could be amalgamated into one. The change resulted in immediate modifications of the old Carnegie building. The interiors were redecorated and painted. Many internal partitions were removed, allowing the public open access to the stock. It was probably from this period that the services of the old library indicator were finally dispensed with. The book stock was catalogued and a full-time library assistant appointed. During this period, the library interior still had several rooms compared to now. These housed newspapers, magazines, local history, and a reference room, and also incorporated 2 lending departments, one for adults and one for children. By 1957, the City Library had a membership of 3,521, 2,108 were adults, and a book stock of 14,884. Interestingly, the City Library still got loans of 500 books every 14 weeks from the county service, reflecting still the old divisions of the service. Borrowers were allowed to borrow 3 books. In 1959, the staffing of the library service was as follows: librarian 1, library assistants 4, library assistant to City Library 1. This was Nancy Dalton, who was to give many years of loyal service to the City Library, and 1 cleaner. Further major renovations and refurbishments occurred in 1979. During this period, the lending and reference services were moved to rooms over the Village Inn and Patrick Street. The changes resulted in a more open plan layout, removal of wall presses, and an incorporation of a new desk. In the late 1980s, the last remaining partitions and display presses were removed and a larger desk was installed. This was again replaced later with a purpose-built desk. Since the library opened in 1910, flooding has always been a threat. While the library building itself was seldom directly flooded, considerable loss of opening hours did occur. In recent years, major engineering works on the adjacent River Nore has finally removed the threat of flooding from the library and its environs. Throughout the years, the Carnegie Library has evolved and reinvented itself. Its core purpose is to remain flexible and responsive to the needs of the community. The traditional services now coexist with newer services such as public access to ICT technologies. The introduction of the public access internet service now regards the mainstream service, allowing for the development of virtual library service. It is regarded still as a community space where communities can engage with knowledge in a safe, comfortable and neutral environment. The physical accessibility of the building was addressed in 2009 with the installation of a ramp, and there was a range of accessible technologies that are now available to all. Its key role is as a space where people of all ages and nationalities receive support with learning access to information in all formats, explore their heritage and culture, access various technologies, attend radio development events, and still borrow and read books.